Yes.
Now, Alan McFarlane often talks about this difference that he sees of difference between sort of industrious and an industrial revolution, and he refers to the different patterns of agriculture in East and West. What, just give us your views on the significance of that, you know, rice agriculture, which kind of gives rise to what he believes is this industrious revolution rather than the industrial revolution that we see in Europe.
You have to be a little bit more specific, David, because I'm not totally sure that I know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe we should.
Because you're confounding two issues. One of them is of the notion of the industrious revolution, which is I'm not sure what he has in mind when he talks about it, because it's sort of a standard concept that's applied in European history, which has nothing to do with rice. So you're confusing me there.
Okay, should we stop?
What is it he maintains?
Yeah.
Rice.
Sure.
But no, well, sorry, I didn't make that clear.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, there's certain
technical
processes. It's useful to keep in mind that there are certain technical processes that lend themselves more readily to mechanization and to the application of non-human power than others. Good example is the growing of rice, okay, most of which has to be done by hand. It's very difficult to bring in machinery the way the Europeans were bringing in early machines, which is, you know, big mechanical plows, which is essentially a machine that plows the ground, and later, of course, reapers and threshers and so on and so forth. But within the West, too, there are certain crops that do not lend themselves very well to mechanization. You know, milking of cows, for instance, isn't mechanized until the 20th century, so is the picking of cotton. Yet if the central crop of a society is difficult to mechanize, which is to some extent true for rice-based agriculture, then it's clear that this is going to involve a very radical reorganization of the labor force towards its sort of very intensive application of that crop. That is to some extent what we observe among the form of agriculture that the peasantry in southern China are involved in, but we see the same thing here in the United States in the South. When cotton picking could not be mechanized, the way the problem is solved is basically is you take slaves and you have slaves pick the cotton. It's one solution to what is essentially a technical problem, although you might think it's a very callous solution. But that is the way things often depend on technological parameter. Had some genius invented a machine that could pick and in the process also plant and weed cotton, say in 1800, American slavery would have disappeared long before the Civil War, and Lincoln would never have had to emancipate the slaves. The point is that you needed slaves in order to grow the cotton. Same is true, I think, in lots of farm systems in which the main crop could not be readily mechanized. Let's talk about the Irish and the growing of potatoes, for instance, which is very difficult to mechanize. It's all done by hand, and so on. So in that regard, I think the technological parameters of each crop determine the way a society is organized, because we have to keep in mind that before the Industrial Revolution, this is about what two-thirds of humanity were doing. They were working on farms, trying to tease out some kind of an existence out of the soil.
Good. That's very good.